A very good evening. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Southeast Hebrew Congregation in Silver Spring, Maryland. Sukkah Lamed Zayin, Sukkah 37. Pagination, page 74. I'd like if we can join at the Mishnah Masnisin, which is the middle of the line in the middle of the page, and then climb up from that Mishnah about five lines, and we'll get the information we need to know how to shake lulav, how to take lulav, and really the arba minim, all four species together, and how to shake them. Beginning of a line. Va'amar Rabba, and Rabba said, lulav biyamin, the lulav goes in the right hand. The esrig bismol, and the esrig goes in the left hand. My time, why? Hani telosa mitzvahs v'hai choda mitzvah. Because one of them has three mitzvahs, because it was understood that we bind the hadasim and the aravas together with the lulav. And therefore, the lulav, by definition, is really three mitzvahs altogether, three parts of the mitzvah. The esrig, it was understood, was independent. And therefore, if you have a choice to hold three mitzvahs or one mitzvah, you're going to give priority to the three mitzvahs. And the rules of priority are that the right hand is considered the more praiseworthy or distinctive. And therefore, the three mitzvahs go into the right hand. Amale Rabbi Yirmiyahu l'Rabbi Zrika. My ta'am, what is the reason, lo mevarchinon ella al netilas lulav, that we only recite the bracha al netilas lulav? We don't say al netilas esrig. We don't mention the others. And the Gemara answers, ho'il v'gavoa mikulon, since the type is taller than all the others, the lulav is more distinctive, it's the more noticeable one, so therefore it's the one that gets the bracha name called on it, and the others join along as part of a lulav set. So it's al netilas lulav. Okay. There's one other piece that is not in this Gemara, but it's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah mentions, that when you're setting up the hadasim and the aravas, so the hadasim are supposed to be slightly taller than the aravas, and they should be to the right. When you're holding it, the hadasim are going to be on the right. And the way to remember all this, hadasim, aravas, the hadasim are more fragrant, which is like a nice thing. There are three of them, as opposed to aravos that are only two of them, and they're going to the right, and they're going to be taller. In other words, the hadasim gets preferential treatment. That's a nice mnemonic device, so that you remember the hadasim. Three, kept to the right, a little bit taller, and the way we remember it, they're fragrant. They get special treatment. Okay. Let's begin the Mishnah. Now that we know how to take the Arba Minim, there's a special mitzvah to do na'anua, to do shaking with them. And what's fascinating is that even though you're mekayim the mitzvah simply by taking them, there's even discussion in the poskim whether you have to actually lift them up. There's one shita that holds that just holding them in your hand is already lekachtem, I took them. Others say you have to impact them enough that if your hands weren't there, they would move, they would drop. So they hold, at least you got to lift them up enough that you're making an impact of some sort. And others say that you have to lift them up the way we lift things up. You lift it up, you lift it up a tefach, you lift it up three tefachim, you lift it up like you're being kona it, you lift it up. But once you've lifted it up, or whatever you do, again, our minimal is just lakachtam, holding it. whatever you accept as the minimal requirement, that's only you are mekayim the mitzvah and your bracha wasn't levatala, but that's not the completion of the mitzvah. In fact, we're told that if a person forgot to make the bracha over la'asayosan before he did the mitzvah, if he has not yet done the na'anuim, he could still make a bracha. Because na'anuim are still an intrinsic part of the mitzvah. It's the correct way to do the mitzvah. In fact, there's a statement later in the Gemara that the definition of a child that should be educated in the mitzvah of lulav, the definition of a child old enough to appreciate lulav, is katan hayodeya lena'aneya, a child who knows how to shake the lulav. So that clearly, if you're going to give the definition of chinuch hinged on shaking, clearly the shaking is a significant component of knowing how to do the mitzvah correctly. And therefore, the Chasam Sofer is quoted as saying that even though the type of na'anuim that we're going to see in the Gemara, that you go to the front and you go to the back and you go up and down and right and left and all that approach, even though all that might be dirabbanan or minig, but the concept that some na'anua has to be done is an intrinsic part of the mitzvah, and it would be considered a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. That when Hashem taught Moshe the mitzvah, he said, and there have to be na'anuim. You have to shake it. Whether he told Moshe mandated how to shake it, that's a whole different story. We'll see the Gemara in a moment. But that some na'anuim have to take place, that the Chasam Sofer holds is a da'oraisa. It's an intrinsic part of the mitzvah. So let's see the Mishnah. V'heichon hoyu minanin, and we're... did they used to do the shaking? The wording of the Mishnah is actually phenomenal with the Chasam Sefer's approach that to shake is required, but where you shake is dependent on minhagim or whatever, and there might be room for a different approach. So the Mishnah doesn't tell you where should you shake. The Mishnah comes in like a historian. Where did they shake? I'm telling you, relating the facts. This is the minig as it exists. You want to debate how it got there? Read the commentary. But the Mishnah is just telling you, v'heichan hayu menanin, and where did they shake? Right? Like someone who comes into a shul. What's the minig here? If he asks, where should I shake? I don't know where you should shake. There's a big shaila. I'll show you this sefer. I'll show you that sefer. He didn't ask that. He wants to be shliach tzibur. He wants to know, where do you shake over here in the shul? Okay? That's a very easy question to answer. At what point in the tefillah? It is a very easy answer to give, because I just need to know what we did last year, and I'll give you an answer. Right? There's no room for scholarly debate. It's a fact. V'heichon hayu menanin, where did they shake? V'hodu l'Hashem t'chila v'sof. In the beginning and end of the capital called Hodu, which is Tehillim Kuf Yud Ches, and it starts with Hodu, and it ends with what to us is almost the end of Hallel, Hodu. Those two Hodus is what the Mishnah is describing. Uva'ana Hashem Hoshia na Divrei Beis Hillel, and also by Ana Hashem Hoshia na, they would also shake. Okay, let's skip down to the Gemara because we're running out of time. Four lines later, Nanu Amandoch Hashemei, who was talking about shaking? That you came in here and said, and where did they shake? Who said that we shake at all? You have to like be sequential first. Tell me there's a halacha called Nanua. So the Gemara answers, Hasam Koi. We're talking about the early Mishnah of this Perek that told us, Kol Lulav Sheyesh Bo Shlosha Tvachim Kidei L'Nanea Bo Kosher, that a Lulav had to have three Tvachim plus a Nanua Tefach, a shaking Tefach. It had to be four Tvachim of the Shedra of the spine. V'ka'omar, and now the Mishnah is picking up on that original Mishnah that told us that a lulav is going to get shaken, and it's asking, Heichan Menanin, where did they shake? Skip down another 4 or 5 lines. Va'asher huram are the first words on the line. And then we begin. Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, let me explain to you what our minig is when we're doing na'anuim. This is how we do it. Molich umevi. You bring it forward and backward in all directions, all 4 directions. Lemisha ha'arba ruchos shalo. To display that Hashem owns all 4 directions. Ma'ale umorid. Then you go up and down. Lemisha ha'shamayim v'ha'oret shalo. To display Hashem's mastery of up, the heavens, and down, the earth. So when you're going in all directions, what you're really doing is Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is right, that Hashem owns, not just that He's there, but that He owns a declaration of ownership, tribute to Hashem. B'ma'arova masnu hachi, there was a different tradition of what's the function of going in all 6 directions. Amar Rav Chama bar Ukva, Amar Rav Yosei bar Rabbi Chanina, molich umevi, you go and come, kidilatza ruchos ros, to stop bad winds.
Dafka, material winds.
Ma'ale umorid, and you go up and down, kidilatza telolim roim, to stop the bad dew. Yeah, however we understand this. But
don't,
it's,
or don't understand.
But it's right. But it's highly beneficial. It's highly beneficial. Go do those wavings. Do them correctly. Highly beneficial. It's a tribute to Hashem. And it is warding off negative forces that might exist in the world. I always like the theme Shamayim va'oret shalo, the heavens and earth are His. Hashem is the creator. Hashem is the one who originally wired everything. So if something needs to be changed, He's the address. You go to the person who made the computer program, he'll tell you what has to happen, right? And that's the pasuk. That's the pasuk, Kuf Chaf Aleph in Tehillim. Ezri me'im Hashem, my salvation is from Hashem, Osa Shamayim Va'aretz, the one who created heaven and earth in the beginning. Uh-huh. So He's the address for Ezri. Okay, have a great evening.